where Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And we then looked at the quickly at the 12 I Ams of the Gospel of John, of which we are now kind of looking at together. So we've already talked about the Messiah, the bread of life in chapter 6, the light of the world, the Son of God, Master and Lord. So that brings us to chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. Mr. Scott, if you would. Amen. So Jesus here says that he is the door. Amen. He is the door to the one sheepfold. By the way, he's not a door. He's the door. Amen. There's not many doors. There's only one door, and that's Jesus Christ. And he here is making that very clear. He is the only way to heaven. Amen. So we'll pray and we'll look at these names together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to study it. And most of all, to be reminded of what a wonderful Savior we serve that has given us eternal life. And as we learn more about our Savior, may it just bless our hearts, give us that stronger desire to be faithful and to honor you with our lives. Work in our hearts through your word today, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus here is the door. Remember, and we'll look at it soon in chapter 14, he said, "I am the way." Amen. Not one of the ways, but the way to heaven. Here he is, the door to heaven. There is no other. And Jesus is not only the door to heaven, but for us as Christians, if you go to Ephesians 2:18, he is also the door to the holy place in heaven. In Old Testament times, when they had the tabernacle and the temple, they had what was called the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest was allowed in once a year to make offering for the people. When Jesus died on the cross, the Lord tore that veil from top to bottom to teach us that the way into the holy place was now available to all because Jesus Christ had paid for our sins with his blood. So here in Ephesians 2:18, Mr. Sharp, could you read that for us? So it is through him. Now look at Hebrews 10, if you would, verses 19 and 20. It is through Jesus that we have access to the Father. So he is not only the door to heaven, but he's also, for you and I, the door to access to our Heavenly Father in the Holy of Holies in heaven. Jesus is that access. He is that door. Brent, if you could read Hebrews 10, 19 and 20 for us. So when he says that word holiest, remember this book is called Hebrews, so it's focusing on the Jewish people. They know exactly what the holiest is from the tabernacle temple days. The holiest was where the high priest went. You and I, notice we have boldness to enter into the holiest through Jesus Christ, who is that door. So Jesus is not a door, he is the door. Amen? The door to the one sheepfold, Jesus Christ. So while we're in chapter 10 now, he not only says he's the door, but let's go back to John chapter 10. And Philip, if you could read 11 to 14, we'll see he's also the good shepherd. So two times there, verses 11, verse 14, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Amen. He is the pastor of the flock, the one church of God. Now, in the Old Testament, Jehovah says that he is the shepherd, doesn't he? And, of course, most of us know Psalm 23, at least the beginning, verse 1, which says what? Anybody know the first phrase of Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. That word Lord there in Psalm 23, verse 1, is all caps. So Jehovah is our shepherd. Amen. And then if you look at Psalm 80, verse 1, we'll see it again, that Jehovah is the shepherd. Roy, if you could read that for us, Psalm 80, verse 1. Amen. And then if you could read Isaiah 40:11 for us. So two times here, at least in the Old Testament, we have Jehovah is the shepherd, or the good shepherd of Israel. Now we get to the New Testament, and Jesus says he is the good shepherd. He is the shepherd of the sheep. And if you look at Hebrews 13:20, Mr. Zeus, if you could read that for us, Hebrews 13:20. Amen. And then, Mark, if you could read also 1 Peter 2:25, we'll see where Jesus Christ is referred to as the shepherd, capital S, by the way.
For ye were as sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and mission of your soul.
So Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. There is only one good shepherd. That is God. Amen. And Jesus, of course, is God. So here in chapter 10, Jesus claims to be the door and the good shepherd. Praise the Lord. Any questions, comments before we move to chapter 11 of John? Good. So in chapter 11, at the funeral, I was going to say resurrection because it's both. of Lazarus, Jesus makes a claim to Mary and Martha. And in that, he claims two different names here in John 11 and verse 25. Let's see. Kelvin, could you read that for us?
John 11.
25. Now, we already looked at Jesus being the life from earlier in the New Testament, but here Jesus claims to be the resurrection. So Jesus doesn't only give, and the life. We'll do that in a second. Sorry. He doesn't only give the resurrection, he is the resurrection. Amen? He doesn't only give life, he is life. And these are two of his names. Jesus Christ is the one. If you go to John 6, and verses 39 and 40. Brandon, if you could read that for us, please. John 6, 39 and 40.
And this is the Father's will, which has given me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. And this is the will of heaven, this evening, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him, and have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Notice he said, I will. He has to be gone to say that I am the one that will resurrect everyone. He's not saying God the Father will do this. He's saying I will do this. Amen? Because he and the God and the Father are one. So Jesus Christ is the resurrection, and he also is the life. And we just read that here in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. But we also know John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus claims to be the life. So he claims not only to be the giver of life, but he claims to be life itself. And that's a big distinction there, isn't there? But if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, we'll see that Jehovah makes the same claim. Again, proof that Jesus Christ has to be Jehovah. Isaiah, could you read that for us? Genesis, Deuteronomy 30:20. Notice it says, he is thy life. So here, Jehovah, he is thy life. And now we get to the New Testament. Jesus says to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He's not only saying that he gives those things, he's saying he is those things. He is the resurrection and he is the life. So when we receive Jesus Christ, we receive what? Life. Amen. Eternal life. And that is what he's teaching us. So go to 1 John 1, verse 2. Mr. Scott, if you could read that for us. 1 John 1, 2. So the life was manifested. Who is this talking about? If you look at the context, it's talking about Jesus. He was manifested. He came to the earth. He is the life. And then also down in chapter 5 of 1 John, Howard, and verse 11 and 12. So God here breaking the world into two groups of people, those that have the Son and those that don't have the Son. Amen? And if you have the Son, you have life. Look at verse 20 of chapter 5. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. He gives life. It is a gift. Amen? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus is the resurrection and the life. That was number 48. If anybody's writing down numbers. So number 49 and number 50 are found in John 14:6. So let's turn there. Is it your turn, Brent? I'm sure you can do it without looking, right? Most of us can. John 14:6. So we looked at life, we looked at resurrection. Here he says, I am the way and the truth. Amen? So that's two more names for Jesus. So we just saw that he is the door. Here he says he is the way. Not a way, the way. Jesus is the way. Because the disciples were asking Christ in the context here, what is the way? Show us the way. Jesus said, I am the way. Not, I'm going to show you the way, I am the way. Big difference. That's Christianity, isn't it? It's about Christ. It's all about Jesus because he is our life. He is our salvation. He is the way. And he is the only way to heaven. He is the way, as we just said, into the holiest. If you look at Acts 4:12, they made this very clear when they were preaching here in Acts chapter 4. Philip, if you could read that for us.
Neither is salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven
I love that verse. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only through the name of Jesus Christ can we be saved. Praise the Lord. He is the way. In Isaiah 35, verse 8, it says, there will be a highway, and it will be called the way of holiness. You can't get to heaven unless you're holy. So then how are we going to get to heaven since none of us are holy? Anybody? There's got to be an answer to that dilemma. Since we sin all the time, but we can't go to heaven unless we're sinless. So what is the answer? Hopefully we understand this. We are saved, but we are something else. Starts with a J. Justified. Thank you, Beth. So much wisdom. Justified. You know what that means? It means we are declared just through Jesus Christ. He passes on to us his sinlessness, his justification, his righteousness, right? He hath made him righteousness on our account, 2 Corinthians 5:21. So, he is that way. And he's the only way, and the way is by becoming what? Justified, redeemed, so forth, through Jesus Christ, then we can access heaven someday, either through death or the rapture. Praise God. He's the way. He's also, John 14:6, the truth. And just like we've talked about the life, he doesn't just give life, he is life. And the way, he's not just a way, he's the way. The truth. Jesus Christ is not only claiming to be one who gives truth, he claims to be the truth. These are very important distinctions to make. That he's not just the giver of truth, he is the embodiment of truth. Amen? And that is what he's claiming to be here, is the truth. And remember we looked earlier from John 1:1, Jesus Christ, his name, when he returns in Revelation 19, is called the Word of God. Amen? That's one of his names, is the Word of God. And that's why it says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And 1 John 5:7, turn there, when we look at the Trinity, of all the names that God could have chosen to describe Christ in this description of the Trinity, of the whatever hundreds of names, which one did he choose but the Word? Amen? There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So Jesus and the Word are the same. He is the truth. He is the embodiment of truth. There is no other truth other than Jesus Christ. And we saw that while you're in 1 John, look at chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come, given us an understanding, we may know him. That is true. We are in him. That is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. Amen? This is the true God. And you know, if you go to Psalm 31:5, I think it's Philip's term, Jehovah says this is also his attribute. Psalm 31:5. O Lord God of truth. That's Jehovah. When you see all caps, L-O-R-D. So Jehovah there is Jehovah of truth. Amen? And now Jesus says, I am the truth. There is no other truth other than the truth. There's not multiple truths, are there? There's only one truth. That's Jesus. And we're holding the Word of God in our hands, but he is synonymous with the Word. Hard for us to get our heads around, but that's what the Bible teaches very clearly. And there's no other way but through the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look at John 18:37, the only ones who will one day go to heaven are those that are of the truth. Because those that are of the truth hear the voice of Jesus. Look what he says here. Pilate's questioning him. And he says, "Art thou a king then?" John 18:37. Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." Amen? He is the truth. And you're not going to get to heaven outside of Christ, as we've seen. He is the way, he's the door, he is the truth, he is the only way, he is the life. So, truth was number 50. Anybody's keeping numerical track. The way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Questions or comments up to there? Then we'll look at the final I am in John. That's chapter 15. If you want to turn there. Verses 1 through 8, Roy, if you could read that for us. John 15, 1 through 8. So Jesus is saying that we're here to bear fruit. Amen. But as with a fruit tree, the branch can't bear fruit unless it's connected to the tree, right? And the vine, the same thing. A vine cannot bear grapes unless the vine is connected, or unless that branch is connected to the vine, which has its roots and so forth. Jesus here is saying that he is that vine. He is that true vine. And without him, we can do nothing. Amen? Verse 5. So we must be connected to the vine, the true vine, to not only be saved, but if we're going to bear fruit, the only way to do it, it's not that we don't have within ourselves the capacity to bear fruit, do we? The fruit comes from the vine, which is Jesus Christ. So here he is. I mean, there's a lot in this passage. Obviously, we could spend the whole morning walking through it in detail. But he's teaching us that we're here to bear fruit for God. Amen. Herein is my Father glorified, verse 8, that you bear much fruit. But you can't do it without being in the vine, connected to the vine. And the vine is Jesus. I am the true vine. He said this is his final I am of John. I am the true vine. And he talks a lot about abiding in him. You know, oftentimes as Christians, we try to bear fruit without God, without God's help. We're wasting our time. We can't do it. It has to come from him, from the vine. So Jesus being the true vine, that's number 51. Thoughts or questions about that name? All right, Acts chapter 5 then, is we're moving on into the book of Acts as we move through the Bible and look at the names of our Savior. Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Mr. Zeus, could you read that for us? So we saw already that he's a king, but he's also a prince. And here, notice it's capitalized, he is a prince and a savior. He is the Prince of Life. We saw in Act, or you can see in Acts 3:15. And he is also, if you look in Revelation 1:5, Kelvin, if you could read that for us, Revelation 1:5.
And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
So here God explains it. He's the prince of the kings. So he's over all the kings of the earth. He is the prince of the kings. Now he's also the king of kings, which we will be talking about in the future. But here he is the prince of the kings of the earth. If you go to Revelation 11, verse 15, God talks about how one day the prince of the kings of the earth will be the only prince. Brandon, could you read that for us? The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. So Jesus Christ is the prince. Amen? But not just any prince. He's the prince of the kings of the earth. The only true prince. Thoughts or questions about that one? Acts chapter 7 is next. Verse 52. Isaiah, could you read that for us? So Stephen here trying to win friends and influence people. I'm being facetious. This sermon got him a stoning, got him a quick trip to heaven. And one of the reasons why they stoned him is because he didn't mince any words, did he? Whom ye have been the betrayers and murderers. So here he is saying to the Jewish people, Stephen, one of the first deacons, you are murderers. They didn't take that too well. But notice who he refers to Jesus Christ as, the just one. Amen? The just one. Just meaning perfect, meaning sinless. That is Jesus Christ. He is the just one. And this was prophesied of in Zechariah 9, if you want to turn there, Zechariah 9:9. Next to the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah 9:9. Mr. Scott, if you could read that for us. Zechariah 9:9. So notice that this king, which we've already talked about, who's coming, says he is just and having salvation. He is just. Again, that word just means sinless, means perfect. Only Jesus can make that claim. He is the just one. And 1 Peter 3:18, if we want to turn there quickly, Howard, says the just died for the unjust. 1 Peter 3:18.
Christ also did much suffer for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
The just for the unjust. Isn't that beautiful? So the just died for the unjust. That is why through Christ, if you go to Romans chapter 3, we receive salvation, but when we do, we receive justification, which I talked about earlier. If you're not just, you can't get to heaven. But if you're saved, you're just. Look at Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Look at verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier. Isn't that good? Jesus is not only just, but he's the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So he is the just one. He's also the justifier, the one who justifies others through his salvation. Isn't that beautiful? So Jesus is the just one. And Stephen here was saying that they had crucified the just one, the one who did nothing wrong. Amen? When we get saved, we get declared just. Justification is a beautiful doctrine. So thoughts or questions about number 53, the just one, our